This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, Jason Gibbs, Joy Production Manager. It's Radiothon time. We still need Joy and we need your support. If you appreciate our free podcast service, our voice for the LGBTI community globally, and the volunteers that make our service possible, please sign up, renew your Joy membership, or make a tax-deductible donation before June 30 to keep our service possible. You may win a prize. Head to joy.org.au and click on either the Become a Member or Donate tabs to support us. If you appreciate our podcast service, let us know in the comments section when making your donation. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and on iTunes. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Our next guest is somebody who's been a great champion of our rights, Jason Ball. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Tass. Thanks for having me in this morning.
It's great to have you in the studio, and thank you for coming in at such quick notice.
Yeah, and what are you doing? Aren't you playing anymore?
No, I ruptured my ACL.
What the hell's an ACL?
Don't even ask me to say what it is.
It's an ACL.
It's a ligament in my knee.
Cruciate ligament.
There we go.
And what's that?
You really don't follow AFL, do you? So what are you doing?
It's the worst and most common injury in the AFL, yeah. I suppose.
Is it a thigh or something?
No. It's a ligament inside the knee. There's two. There's the ACL and there's the PCL.
Right.
And when you do the ACL...
I don't think I've got either of those.
The ACL can't actually heal itself because once it's been broken, it sort of falls away. And so you actually need to have a knee reconstruction surgery in order to... They take part of your hamstring and they graft it inside the kneecap to replace the ACL joint. Basically, it's a ligament that stops you from falling over when you change direction.
Oh, you'll be out of action for ages.
And it's cruciate because the two of them, the ACL and the PCL, form a cross inside your knee. That's what makes it work.
Mm.
See? Doctor in the house.
No. Not at all.
Well, look, I've gone through 12 months of rehab following that operation. And if you ask my dad, I've still got 4 good years of football left in me. But if you ask me, I'm retired at the moment. And just enjoying actually going out and speaking at other football clubs at their trainings and at their games. Because we've got initiatives like Pride Games happening all across the state this year.
Yeah, that's fantastic work. And you've been a real champion of all of that, so it's great to see it. So what we really wanted to talk with you about this morning is the Margaret Court Arena saga. Now, I noticed you have been pretty active on social media yourself, plus in the mainstream media. You were on television last night, I believe.
Yep, I was giving Margaret a serving on Channel 9 News last night. Yep.
Pardon the pun. So what's your view? Tell us in a nutshell what you think about this whole issue.
Well, my first response to Margaret Court's first letter to the editor, which was about her boycotting Qantas, I think was one of bemusement, because if you're going to boycott Qantas or if you're going to boycott an airliner that supports marriage equality, you're going to be hard-pressed to get around domestically here in Australia.
That's what Martina Navratilova said. She's going to come to Melbourne by boat.
Come on the boat, or she's going to have to get a good pair of walking shoes or something like that. You know, I just laughed when I saw that. But she followed it up with another letter to the editor, where she attacked Casey Delacroix for having a family, saying that children need to have a mum and a dad, and that it was really disappointing to see Casey's family being celebrated in her newspaper. And at that point, I was just like, I think you've crossed the line here. And a lot of other people within the tennis world also felt that. And obviously, Margaret Court Arena down in Melbourne Park, named after Margaret for her amazing, you know, tennis achievements. People throwing the comment out there, is this the kind of person we want representing the game of tennis? Is she bringing disrespect to the game of tennis? As an organisation, Tennis Australia has tried to distance itself from Margaret's comments. Margaret Court Arena, the stadium has tried to distance itself from Margaret Court's comments. And so the question has to be asked to Premier Daniel Andrews and to Tennis Australia and to the Melbourne Park Trust as to whether or not it'd be appropriate to change her name if Margaret is not only going to continue to hold her views, which she's absolutely entitled to, but if she's going to be going out there writing letters to the editor, sort of provoking people and, you know, denigrating gay people as a result, I think it's a question that needs to be asked.
This is not something new, of course. No, I mean,
it's
stuck its head up again. Mm. And make no mistake, no one went around and knocked on Margaret's door and said, what do you think?
Mm. No, I mean, she spontaneously decided to actually do this.
Because, as is her perfect right, she actually opposes marriage equality. Mm. She decided to write the letter to the Western Australian to provoke debate. Well, she's got the debate. And I think what the debate's saying back to her is, okay, you put it up there, kid. Now, we're saying, if you really want to maintain those bigoted views, then the respect we had for you as a sports person no longer covers over those views, and we don't think as highly of you. And I certainly don't think as highly of her because those views have been expressed.
And I think, yeah, I mean, I guess to use another tennis analogy, if you're going to, you know, lob a really high ball up in the air, expect to get it smashed back down, you know? And she's going to be out there saying, you know, oh, it's my right to express my view.
Of course it is her right.
It absolutely is your right.
Take the consequences.
Freedom of speech does not mean freedom from consequences. And if you're going to serve it out, you have to be prepared to get it dished back to you.
So one of the views that I heard on Radio National last night by John Alexander was that... He in essence actually said that her tennis capability was fantastic, and she is entitled to her personal views, but he wanted to separate the two out. Mm-hmm. And he argued that her name should remain at the arena because this is about a celebration of her achievements as a tennis player. Now, we've heard contrary views to that. Terry, for example, believes you can't separate the person from the tennis player, the personal view from the tennis capability. What do you think about that?
Well, it was a similar statement echoed by Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull on 3AW yesterday as well. Look, you know, the naming of Margaret Court Arena is just about her tennis ability. We'll separate her as an individual and as a person. And I obviously don't think that you can separate the name from the person and the identity and what they represent. Imagine how it would feel to be a gay tennis player playing tennis at Margaret Court Arena, named after a person, regardless of whether she's a tennis champion or not. Mm. She is a person who fundamentally doesn't think that you should have the same rights as everybody else. Mm. And, you know, to me, I think that says a lot. And there's been some calls about maybe we could have a crowdfunding campaign to buy the naming rights of Margaret Court Stadium and rename it. Maybe we could have some sort of rainbow tennis round held at Margaret Court Stadium. I think there's
maybe we could put the name up in rainbow lettering.
I think there'd be... And Ivan Hinton-Teo, the head of Just Equal, which is a human rights group, put out a really great point yesterday on social media where he said that, look, if Margaret is going to boycott organisations who support marriage equality, Margaret Court Arena is one of those organisations. So does she want her name associated with an arena that supports marriage equality? And maybe the ball is in her court. Maybe she wants to take her name off that arena.
And can she do that? That's the other question. Do you have the right to actually request that your name be taken off a court?
And is she now not going to go to a doctor anymore because the AMA has decided that it supports marriage equality? I mean, her proposition is wrong, it seems to me. And as long as that point's made, perhaps that point's made. But I take your bigger point that what's it say to a tennis player or a young gay kid who walks into Melbourne Park for the first time and says, Dad, Mum, who was Margaret Court? Mm-hmm. You know, a great tennis player.
And how do you answer that?
Great tennis player. Oh, yeah, but didn't she say something about, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
You can't partition people like that. I don't care what the Liberal
National
Party
song sheet didn't she refuse to fly around the country?
Said for Alexander and Turnbull yesterday. I don't care what, you know, their talking points are. I think they've got it wrong when they say you can partition people in that way.
So, Jason, if the court was to be renamed, because clearly you're advocating that it does get renamed, what would you like it to be named as?
Well, I thought Peter Fitzsimmons in Fairfax had a very good point about Yvonne Goolagong, one of Australia's most amazing Indigenous tennis players, that would be a great one. There was a lot of jokes around Tina Arena, would be really fitting, I think. And you know what?
The Tina Arena.
Why not? And I think that if we really wanted to pressure Margaret Court Arena and Tennis Australia to think about changing the name, I think that one avenue could be to get performers to say that, look, we're not going to perform at Margaret Court Arena as long as it's called Margaret Court Arena. It may be performers who would probably never perform there because it's out of their league. They'd probably be more likely to go to Rod Laver. But, you know, they might be people with their name and their credibility to actually say as much, to say that, you know what, I'm boycotting this venue because of what it's called and what that represents. And that is synonymous with bigotry and small-mindedness.
Yes.
I think that would actually have a really powerful impact and really help that campaign pick up steam.
Jason, I've got to tell you, we've had a couple of messages. 317, who's one of our regulars who we absolutely love, did say, love you, Jason. He also came back and said, well, I'm saying is a he. I actually don't know the answer to that. Is 317 a he or a she? Please let us know. Let us know who you are, by the way. 317 says, you can't change history, guys. She's a social dinosaur, but I think it's over the top. She made a goose of herself and that's enough. So are we actually really making this a bigger issue than it is?
Look, I think it's a fair point to an extent, is that there are, you know, some really big issues for the LGBTI community that we need to be worried about. Achieving marriage equality, for example, pressuring the government to allow a vote so that we can achieve marriage equality, removing exemptions that religious schools have where they're allowed to discriminate against young LGBTI people. There are bigger issues that we need to fight within the LGBTI community, granted. But I think when this comes up in the way that it has in the public domain, we need to be prepared to stand up for ourselves. And, you know, Margaret might throw around words like, well, she's being bullied. But, you know, she came out and started it. And I think that I'd see it more as a way of self-defense. And when you've got people out there who have those positions of power, all of a sudden having their views challenged, it might look like bullying, but really it's just us also expressing our right to free speech.
Jason, I'm hearing the passion in your voice here. I want you to hold that thought. So thank you for the conversation so far. We've probably talked about Margaret Court Arena ad nauseam, and I think many other people, I'm almost over it. But I think
we're also just over talking about marriage equality.
Oh, like, yeah. Yes.
It's just been going on for so long. We're so frustrated by it.
I'm sick of it, actually.
All they have to do is go in there and vote. I mean, what is...
Hey, the AMA did come out today and say that they do not support a plebiscite.
That's a good move.
Yeah.
That's a
fantastic move. So we want to make sure that everybody knows that. So, Jason, what we want to talk about now is the role of sports celebrities, sports heroes, good sports people, whatever you want to call them, in their role in shaping public opinions.
Mm-hmm. And the positive side of it. I suppose we've been focusing on how much damage you can do if you're an exporting great and you stamp on people's rights or something like that. But the positive side of it, how much good can you do?
Before you continue, though, you're getting some fan mail here. Somebody says you're a cutie.
Stop it.
Not bad.
Okay, I killed your thought. I apologise.
The positive side.
When you asked me to have a think about it yesterday, Tass, I started to think about why is it that Australia, like, why do we love sport so much and why do we idolise sporting people? And I kind of thought about it like, look, I'm not a psychologist, but I think Australia is kind of like that little child who just wants its mum's attention. And if you think of our mum like the UK, and we just really want to be recognised and noticed. And so on the world stage, so much of our identity, I think, revolves around how well we do at the Olympics and how well we do in the cricket and how well we do in sport. And we're always trying to sort of punch above our weight.
Maybe that. Or, I don't know, sport in certainly in regional Australia still, is the glue that binds communities together. That's the other thing, that if you go to Natamuck, and I've got a good friend who lives there who posts on Facebook every week the results for the local footy team and netball team. Now I think they're getting a women's footy team together.
Good
so
news.
I don't know who's going to play netball, perhaps the blokes. But you go to places like that, and the footy and the netball teams and the organisation around them is part of what actually gives the place its character. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty true in the suburbs still, isn't it?
Oh,
it's maybe just us. I think it is.
I think
it's Yarra Glen you played
I think
for,
it plays,
didn't you?
Yeah, I played for Yarra Glen out in the country, so I definitely have that feeling of, you know, the football club being the heart of the community.
Hmm.
Absolutely. And I think it does play on, you know, our sense of identity as Australians. You know, we definitely identify with sport. We idolise sporting people. But also because sport does offer us so much in the way of community and identity and belonging. And
support when you need it.
But why do we idolise good sports players?
I think it's because, you know, if we've got good sports people out there representing us on the world stage and doing well, we kind of pick up on those good vibes by association. And so they're kind of an extension of ourselves in a way. And by the fact that, and the reason why I spend so much of my time focusing on sport when it comes to LGBTI inclusion is because not only is being excluded from sport really bad for our health because of all the physical and health benefits that come from playing sport, the social aspect that come from playing in a team sport, that feeling of being part of a community, especially if you're in a regional town. But also the fact that if you look at all of our sporting heroes, not very many of them are gay. And so as a young person to know that, you know, they look at sports people get respect, sports people get awards, sports people become Australians of the Year. Where do I fit into that picture as a gay, as a young gay person? And that's why I think it's so powerful when the likes of Ian Thorpe, you know, is prepared to come out, albeit, you know, it was a really long and tough journey for him to get to that point.
Sometimes it's good that the people see that it's a long and tough journey too. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's too easy these days. We had a promo before TAS where they were promoting an app that lets you come out anonymously. Yes. I heard it when it...
You're accepted.
And I thought, right, yeah, I know so what, I know what they're trying
out.
To say, but it's a long journey for a lot of people and a painful journey for
I'm
a lot
sure
of people.
About that
and
one.
I don't think it hurts for that to be modelled in this community as well.
Melina Smith says, we're sports obsessed.
Oh.
Other countries are known for their culture.
Mm-hmm.
What's your response to that, Jason?
Well, I think as a quite a young colonial country, we kind of don't have a culture in the way that a lot of European countries do. So we've kind of got to make it up as we go along. And unless, of course, obviously our Indigenous culture and heritage is very important, but that doesn't get taught enough in schools, I don't think. And we don't celebrate it in the way that, say, New Zealanders celebrate their Maori culture, which going over there was a really big wake-up call for me as a country who do that really well.
They do.
And I don't think we do it particularly well.
But come on, tell me the country that doesn't idolise its sporting heroes.
It's true. And that visibility is really powerful. And if you look at... we were just talking about women's footy, for example.
Yeah.
Erin Phillips kissing her wife, Tracy, after she won the Best and Fairest, and going up there on the stadium and getting her award. And at the end of her speech, she actually talked to Tracy and said, you know what, 6 months ago, we're living in the US, you're pregnant with our next child, and I'm saying I want to come to Australia and play Aussie rules. And I thought you were going to say no, of course not, and you said yes, let's do that, let's chase your dream, let's go and do that. And so she said, I want to dedicate this award to you, my wife. And I think the reason
that's fantastic,
it's beautiful, but the reason that I think Erin was able to do that is because she spent most of her time in the US, right? She's not across the Australian way of doing things, where actually that visibility is really rare. And so I think she's come here and just been willing to be herself, but it was a real wake-up call for Australia, because it was almost embarrassing that her wife Tracy, their marriage is not recognised here in Australia. Meanwhile, out in the rest of the world,
you know,
in all every other English-speaking country, that's just a normal thing.
And about to be in Taiwan.
Already in Vietnam.
And here we are, still having this debate, and Margaret Court's views, you know, across the project and the front pages of the paper.
Oh, dear, we've got a long way to go, haven't we?
No, not that far. And I reckon out there in High Street, whatever suburb or country town, not that far. I think there's just a really organised block of resistance that's doing everything it can to stymie the next step to making this just a non-issue.
And it should be a non-issue, but one of the things that gives me hope and that tells me that it's not that far away is that this year it is some of the country football leagues that are holding Pride games. Yes. So we've got one happening in Hamilton next month. Just after that, there'll be one happening in North Gippsland.
Fantastic.
You know, the fact that...
North Gippsland,
where, in fact.
Tambo or somewhere?
I don't even know the town yet, but it's...
it's going to be cold.
AFL Gippsland have been really driving it and really inspired to do it. And so, you know, if things can be okay in country Victoria, I think they can be okay anywhere.
So, AFL, will we ever see gay AFL players?
Well,
you've seen lots of them.
thanks to the women, we do have gay AFL players now. The girls are certainly showing the way. But in terms of
what is it with the men?
Look, we are dealing with a culture of, you know, homophobia and silence. And a lot of the guys who I think there's two factors to it. One is a lot of the gay men have been weeded out of the sport by the time they get to that elite level because they haven't felt comfortable.
Is
they
that
stop
right?
playing, they drop out.
Is that right?
Usually around, I think, of the age of 15 or 16, I think a lot of people would pull out and not continue. But those who do are so deep in the closet now. A lot of them, you know, would have girlfriends or be living lies and would be in that position where, you know, to come out would be to admit that they've lied to people for a long time. And I think it's the thing that was so hard for Ian Thorpe and for a lot of, you know, actors and people in the public eye from older generations is that because they've lived that life for so long, once you've dug
they
that hole,
how
do you get out, you know?
Yeah. We've just had some positive feedback again on your discussion this morning, and you've got a solid fan base out there, Jason. But we've also had a comment from our lovely Melina, who says that she's very, very pleased to see that we've had a female umpire, our first female umpire, who also happens to be Greek.
Yeah,
how interesting
is that? It
was
a good moment. And again, about time. I think a lot of the things within the AFL almost happened by accident as opposed to being driven by the AFL as an organisation. I think they have a lot more work to do. But, you know, when it comes to the AFL, things like the Pride game, they've come from the grassroots and they've been driven by the clubs. You know, I think a lot of the clubs have taken real ownership over this. And like we have the Dreamtime game tonight at the G.
Yes.
And now we have a whole Indigenous round. I think if we're going to get to the point where we're going to have a Pride round, it's going to start with one game, like what we have with St Kilda in Sydney, and it's going to grow over time organically.
Jason, thank you very much for coming into the studio this morning. You're always an inspiration. It's been great to chat with you and hear your thoughts. Before I let you go, though, one final go. What would you like to see the arena renamed?
What would I like to see the arena named? Oh, look, let's just say Equality Arena. How about
Equality
that?
Arena. There we go. That's pretty good. Thanks for coming in, Jason. We'll have you back on the show again sometime.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.